Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing good, Kyle. Weather's good. Packers went through OTAs, and we got a schedule. So getting closer to real football.
Yeah, not so much breaking news, because the schedule has been out for a while, but we have not had the chance yet to talk about the Packers schedule on the podcast. So thought we'd schedule that in right now, early June. Figured it's about time to get to it. So do you want to just get right to it, Jesse?
Hey, let's talk about it. Let's look at the schedule.
Yeah, so I guess just a few quick comments. There's a lot of alternating home and road throughout, but it seemed like the stretches of back-to-back home games or back-to-back road games seems like that's basically the early schedule. Weeks 1 and 2, they're on the road. Weeks 3 and 4, they're at home. Weeks 5 and 7 are on the road, and those are back-to-back games because the Packers have a week 6 bye. Oh, look at that. Back to the early portion with the byes again. Yeah. And then weeks 8 and 9, back-to-back home games. So it's funny how the first portion of the schedule, it's back-to-backs almost every time, and then it's a lot of alternating. Looks like they have back-to-back road games weeks 16 and 17. But outside of that, it's very much kind of back and forth for that later portion of that schedule. So I just found that interesting that it was so much, okay, back-to-back for the first half and then alternating for the second half.
You look late in the season too. It not a lot of cold games. I mean, you have Tampa Bay at home, which is favorable, but yeah, it's got a dome game in there, which is normal. And then, yeah, I like how it's, you know, last year we had the 4-game stretch and one game was in London, away games. That was a pretty brutal schedule. So this one's a lot favorable, I think.
Yeah. There was a couple things last year. I think last year they had their Thursday night game was at home and the Sunday before was also at home. So they didn't have to travel on the short week like we've seen them do in the past. It's not quite the case this year. They're on the road for a Thursday game. Early in the season, we'll get to that. They do have a Thursday home game. It's funny. They have 2 Thursday games against the Lions. One's at home and then one's on Thanksgiving. So that's an early one on the road because those Thanksgiving games are always in Detroit. But they have a home game before that. So the fact is both their Thursday games happen after they're already in home. And yeah, they have to travel a bit to Detroit, but it's not massive travel. So I think that was the one thing that happened last year that they kind of got lucky with is the travel specifically before the Thursday games was minimized. In this case, I guess last year they only had 1 Thursday game. This year with 2 Thursday games, one on the road, but both being at home games before that, I think that helps it out. It gives it, again, a bit of luck, certainly early in the season, helping that first primetime game, I think.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Not the biggest fan of Thursday games, but hey, it's kind of neat. Same team, both Thursday games. Yeah, it's usually Detroit Super Bowl on Thanksgiving, so that might be a battle that week.
Don't the Bears usually beat them, though?
Usually. But, hey, that's the Lions, right?
Yeah, we can rip on the Lions. Hey, they're not division champs yet, right? Like, I know everyone seems like they're crowning them as division champs. FYI, I'm not predicting the Lions to win the division. I've already kind of gone through some of my touchdown projections. Yeah, I'd still be pretty adamant. I'm not picking the Lions, even if it seems like the numbers would be the smart thing to do. I don't think they're the smart pick to win the division as much as everyone thinks. But we can rip on the Lions another time as we start with the Bears, actually. Okay, there'll be time to rip on the Lions.
Let's rip on them all. Let's get into it.
I guess before that, Jesse, were there any just general observations that you got from the schedule just seeing it? Like I did again with the alternating home and road or the back-to-back home and road to start.
I mean, the only we talked before the show and we kind of disagree on it, but a lot of 1 o'clock games again. And I, for one, love it. I know you don't for other reasons, but it's kind of, you know, the Packers used to play a lot of 1 o'clock games. And then, you know, over the years when you get better and a lot more prime time, they're playing later, but I enjoy the 1 o'clock game. So there's quite a few 1 o'clock games again. I like it.
But they still have 5 primetime games. So this really does seem like they're just not being picked in the 4 o'clock slots anymore. And more than anything, that might be the point of where networks don't think they're as good of a team. Because, oh, does Fox and CBS want them? Hey, how many weeks did Fox? Okay, game of the week, Aaron Rodgers, right? Like they were really pushing that like a couple years ago, that one season where it seemed like almost every game is on Fox. There's quite a lot on Fox still, but specifically that 4 p.m. Eastern slot on Fox to get that And you know, not every 4 o'clock Eastern game at Fox will be like a game of the week game. Like their prime. I think now it's Greg Olson. It used to be their quote unquote top crew, which was Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, which I don't think is very good at all. But that was what Fox viewed as their top crew. I think even with his limited experience, Greg Olson clearly puts in more effort and thus puts a better commentary product on the field or on tape. On the film compared to Troy Aikman, but yeah, but it does seem like the network's going away from the not prime time, but the later afternoon sort of big game. That's where the Packers have really gone away from. They only have two games the entire season in that 4:20 slot, 4:25, I guess, for both. Which I suppose, Jesse, is a good way to transition because one of those is the first game of the season.
It is, yeah. Battle of the Midway, right?
But with, you know, the kickoff game Thursday, I think is week one, is that where they're going to have two Monday night games? Like, there's less games to compete against. So maybe that makes sense that that's the week the Packers get on a 4 o'clock slot.
You know, Bears-Packers, you'd think it'd be a 1 o'clock like it was in the old days. That looks like a primetime game, which makes sense. Two young quarterbacks. One team had a huge offseason, Green Bay's, you know, going through a transition. I get why starting off and the oldest rivalry in the NFL, right? Doesn't matter. Throw out the records, but right away, beginning of the season, let's play the Bears, which seems to be kind of normal the last couple of years. It seems like Bears week one, 4 or 5 times out of the last so many years, it's been quite a bit.
And then even last year was week two.
Right.
So yeah, get that Bears game up early. And this one, they'll start. So their first two games actually will be on the road. We talked about that, the alternating road and home schedule. So they start in Chicago, and that's traditionally where Aaron Rodgers has had such a big advantage over the Bears. Now it's Justin Fields versus Jordan Love, and we'll see if can Love maintain that same type of dominance. And we find out right away, week one, he has to go right into the heart of the Bear, so to speak. As much as like the Packers have just kind of stomped over the Bears the last few years, I don't know. I don't have that same confidence in Jordan Love that it's just automatic W's. Now, like not every Aaron Rodgers game against the Bears was like a dominating 40-point win. We saw a lot of those, but there was a couple where it was, okay, you know, one possession game, the Jimmy Graham touchdown game, because that was literally the only touchdown in the game was Jimmy Graham's touchdown. That was a week one game to be fair. The Khalil Mack game, like his first appearance where he injured Aaron Rodgers and, you know, the miraculous Rodgers comeback after half, the Packers, I think, win on the field goal in the fourth. So they've had some close contests. So if the Packers are going to win, it's probably going to be one of those, a close contested game, which might be good for Jordan Love to get it, you know, the Jordan Love era starting, get that first win. I guess he doesn't have a career win yet either. So to get that first Jordan Love win against a division opponent in what will probably be a close game could probably do a lot for Love's confidence. So not to just magnify things, I think this is one of the most important week one games the Packers have had. I don't know, since I've been really watching football, frankly. Probably the most, probably since 2009. And I can't remember if they won week one 2009. They obviously in 2009 won enough games to make it to the playoffs. But that would have been Rodgers' first playoff appearance. So like that was probably the most they've felt pressure-wise in terms of you have to win week one, I think. And that was, you know, 2009, that was almost 15 years ago. We're talking 13, 12, 14, math, right? 14 years ago. And I don't. Do you disagree with me there, Jesse? Do you think that's the biggest week one game the Packers have had in 14 years, or am I overstating this?
No, I don't think so. I think the Saints game after the Super Bowl was a big game. Just the buzz around and coming off that Super Bowl high against a really good team. Outside of that, yeah, it's been, you know, the Bears. Yeah, we played the Jaguars that one year and should have killed them, barely beat them. But yeah, you had Aaron Rodgers, right? We usually start off 1-0. If you lost that first week, it's like, big deal. You know, they'll be all right. So this one kind of, there's a lot on the line, right? What team do we have? What are we looking forward to this year? Obviously everything, it's no one won the Super Bowl in week one, but they're going to have time to scheme up this game. You know, Jordan Love's they're probably gonna have a lot of stuff scripted early. To your point, I don't see any blowouts this year. They're going to be good games. They're going to be grinders, you know, play defense, run the football. Don't make mistakes. I think you're going to see a slobber knocker of a game, you know, win or lose. I don't think we can be, you know, one way or the other, oh my God, the season's over. But yeah, I think a lot of things and a lot of questions and a lot of worry and doubts are all going to come to a head week one. So it'll be interesting. And I think it's for both teams, right? You know, Justin Fields, all the talent in the world, he still hasn't proven nothing to me. Bears spend a lot of money this offseason. I don't think they improved to, oh my God, that team's a contender. Prove me wrong. And I think it's Green Bay the other way too. Prove me right. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they've, you know, the Bears really haven't given Justin Fields any weapons, and now they have. They've given him DJ Moore. Like that, as much as that shouldn't transform him into, like, he's not going to, oh, DJ Moore is there, he's suddenly the best passer in the league. But we've seen Allen and Hurts and these quarterbacks take these steps once they got these elite receivers.
Yeah.
And it's not the only reason they took steps, but it's been a major factor. If you don't have the weapons to throw to, yeah, you're not going to complete a lot of passes. If the players aren't getting separation, can't catch the football well, you kind of get DJ Moore who can win all over the field. So it's also like that's a you know, it's not the most difficult test, because we've also seen Jair go against the most difficult test and pass with flying colors last season in a game the Packers needed to win to get in the playoffs. So I have confidence in Jair versus DJ Moore, but it's pretty tough test right off the bat. DJ Moore's a great receiver who can win again at every area of the field, short, intermediate, deep, you know, can run routes from the outside, out of the slot, great hands, pretty good after the catch. Like, he's kind of everything you want in a receiver. So to be fair, like, this isn't going to be a one-dimensional Bears offense. They might still run more than they pass, but last year you could almost, there was not much of a passing threat from the Bears. They really were a bigger threat on the ground. And that's where I don't think is going to be the case. So the Packers defense passing wise is going to have to be ready, because I think we're about to see the best we've seen so far of Justin Fields passing.
And you just answered the big question week one. To me, it's not Jordan Love. Oh, is Jordan Love the future? We're not going to know the first month of the season. It's, hey, is this defense finally going to show up? All these first round players, all this hype, you know, you have Joe Barry, who's been hit or miss, passive. And then all of a sudden at the end of the season, it seems to come on. Is this defense going to be for real? And this is going to be the test, game one. Athletic quarterback that's got a weapon now. You know, you pressure him early and force him into mistakes, you can kick his butt. You know, you let him gain some confidence right away and make some throws, could be a long day. So I think that's the biggest question week one for me.
And then they travel from Chicago, you know, the team that drafted Justin Fields, to the team that, instead of drafting Justin Fields, decided to take a tight end, the highest that tight end's ever gone in NFL history. So good job, Atlanta Falcons. They have Desmond Ridder or potentially Taylor Heineke at quarterback. We're not really sure. I don't know. I feel like that's, to me, it's almost the same thing. Like, to what we were saying about the Bears specifically last year, that's going to be a big test for the run defense more than anything. Now that the Falcons have added their new shiny toy, Bijan Robinson, at running back, to a team that was already pretty good at running last year without him, you'd imagine on a good solid offensive line, that's going to be a really big test for the run defense. And we know Joe Barry run defenses, right? What is that? What are you thinking about this game?
So Atlanta is one of those teams, man. I know when we talked about Aaron Rodgers trades, and is Atlanta good? I don't know. We don't know. But do they have nice, young, enticing weapons that could potentially become something? I think so. You know, you have Pitts, you have London, you have two, you know, the running game now with Robinson there. The question is the quarterback. You know, O-line, you know, they have some age there and they have some new guys, but there's some really good football players. Lindstrom's really good. They still have Matthews. You know, I think it's a young team that, if kind of like the Lions last year, if they buy into what they're selling, you could get a really good team, or, you know, they could have a dud week. So this is one of those wild card games. I think the Packers are the better roster. I think the Packers should win this game. Again, it's early on the road. You never know. This is one of those games that I don't want to say trap game, because you're not looking into next week or nothing, but this is that tricky game where if you let them hang around, they could bite you.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Because the truth is, you know, we maybe not have the fullest confidence in that passing game, but I'd expect, just like with the Bears, the passing offense will be much better. Well, maybe not much better, but better than it was last year. Because, we don't really know who Desmond Ridder is, and Taylor Heineke, but Marcus Mariota was absolutely awful last year. And I'm one of the biggest Mariota apologists. I've kind of believed in him as longer than most, but even I had to say last year, like, Mariota was not the answer. Like, he was the problem, in fact. So I expect that team can pass better than they did last year while still being able to maintain their running excellence. And I suppose for both, really the run defense is going to be tested early on because you go to really the next, I would say, really all five games before the bye week, there are excellent running backs or, and, you know, in some cases, running quarterbacks specifically. I guess that's more Fields. He's just kind of a difference maker completely at that. But there's a lot of good, solid running backs that they're going to have to face. Some really decent offensive lines throughout there as well. So run defense, I think, will be a big we're going to get some answers certainly on that in the first month of the season.
Win on first down. That's, you know, the way what Green Bay wants to do is get after the quarterback, and you got to win on first down. So you're right. Stop the run early, and good things that happen. Give up 5 yards a carry. Could be a long day, and that could be the season.
Now, moving on for the rest of the season, starting week three, the Packers' home opener against the New Orleans Saints. So, again, this is funny. We've seen, like, every time they play the Saints, it's always early in the season, too. So just another one of those fun little traditions. Actually, the Falcons recently as well. I think of that like a couple years ago, the Robert Tonyan 3-touchdown catch game. Like that was, I believe, in the first month of the season. So it's funny how they've, you know, these NFC South opponents, they seem to always face early in the year. But yeah, what do you think of this home opener against the Saints?
I don't know. Home opener, so that's nice. I don't know. I don't know about the Saints. Like, they played good defense last couple of years. I know they lost a few pieces. They're getting a little older, but they still have some core players. Offense, you know, you got a new quarterback. Are they going to be healthy at spots? I don't know. It's the old line for how good it was for so long has shaken up a little bit. Are they a good team? I mean, last year it was kind of like, oh, they're a quarterback away and they should win the, you know, the South easy. And I don't know. I don't know if Carr's the guy. This is a question mark team also. I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, I think Derek Carr is better than Dalton and Winston. And really, I think Derek Carr is better than the last 5 years of Drew Brees' career when, let's face it, Noodle Arm Brees really wasn't a difference maker. He was I wouldn't say liability because he could still game manage well, but he wasn't the force multiplier difference maker that we saw, well, certainly in 2009 when they won the Super Bowl. But even the first, like the, I'll say up until 2015. To me, 2016 was when we saw Brees start to fall off. So maybe the better
staff, you know, that's the thing too, you know.
Well, I mean, Carr's getting up there in age too, but I think we may see the best quarterback play from the Saints since 2015. I think that's a possibility, but it's not a for sure guarantee. Right. How does Carr mesh with Chris Olave? I think that'll be huge. You know, Olave really showed out well as a rookie, and it seems like the offense is going to go through him. Is Alvin Kamara playing or is he suspended? Might see a Jamal Williams revenge game because he might be leading the backfield. I love the running back they took, Kendre Miller. And you could listen to a lot of episodes of the Full Press Fantasy Pod throughout the year. At one point, he was my RB2 in the class through this process, behind only Bijan Robinson, who we just touched on. So, again, nice. Another strong run game with some weapons. It's funny that the Falcons, same thing. Tons of weapons, but the questions really are at quarterback. And Derek Carr has shown more in his career to maybe we should have less questions about it, but how does he adjust to a new team, a new system? We'll find out that for sure. I guess he's had different offensive coordinators, different offensive systems, but a completely new team. I don't know. We'll find out. And as much as I like Chris Olave, it's not as if this is the most talented receiving core Carr's ever had. He did have a Davante Adams last year. You can make the argument. It was just last year with Adams and Hunter Renfro, Darren Waller. You know, the first couple of years with the Raiders when he had Michael Crabtree, Amari Cooper, Jared Cook, like, so it's not as if Carr, I mean, it's not like Sean Payton's on the Saints and you've got this incredible offensive system. So we might also see a different Derek Carr than we've seen.
Interesting game. Yeah. That's what I said. I don't know what to expect yet. So hopefully home opener, put it on them early, go to 3-0, right? That's the plan.
Yeah, I'd love to be 3-0 going into this Thursday night game. So I mentioned that back-to-back home game. So this is part of, the good parts of the schedule is that they play their first Thursday night game at home after playing at home 4 days before. So no travel between, which I think in theory should help. Now, the Lions are on a 3-game win streak against the Packers, aren't they?
Yep.
one of those games was a end of the season 2021 game. Didn't really matter, so Love played a lot of it just to get him reps. The Packers already had the one seed locked up, so we'll say they're on a two-game competitive win streak. But still, I mean, if the Packers had won one of the games last year, that would have been the difference in the playoffs. So he, I think, one of the, you know, just as much as the first Bears game, and division games are always so important, but to this point, this might be the most important game of the season. And it might be one of the biggest games of the season all year anyway. Get these Lions at home. I think you got to take care of home business, which has been a problem against the Lions, even with Aaron Rodgers. So huge pressure, I think, on Jordan Love. A short week of preparation like that. I'll be honest, like, to me, if I have to pick out losses on the schedule right away, this one stands out to me as being a loss. And they might get the game in Detroit. I'd almost think that's more likely that they win in Detroit than they do beat the Lions at home, just because of the nature of this. Again, short week. It'll be the first time Jordan Love will have to have played like 4 days apart between games. Like, what does that mean for his preparation and his ability to be in that next game well? So to this point would be the one I'd feel the least confident in picking a win for.
I'm with you. So this is really Jordan Love's first primetime game, you know, Thursday night, no other games on primetime, short week at home against the best team of the year so far. And to your point, it's the biggest game. I really honestly think that it's going to be between the Lions and Packers for the division. The Bears and Vikings don't scare me. Not saying I don't respect them, but I think these are the two best teams in the division. Big game. Lions believe what they're selling, even though I thought they had the most awful draft I've ever seen, but that's another day. But yeah, gone are the days of, hey, Detroit can't win in Green Bay, right? Since 1991, it lasted for 30-some years. And now they got three wins on us. So hopefully a lot of these guys were on the team last year. Hopefully there's a bad taste in their mouth. You know, Rodgers played awful in both games. Hopefully Jordan Love doesn't follow suit. This is going to be a game right here. It's early in the season. Again, you know, Lions have been pretty good at Lamb. Even the wins that we had against the Lions go back a few years ago. We never led in regulation. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, those Crosby field goals to end both. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like we've walked away from the Lions in a long time. So, expect a tough game. If I had to pick a loss out of the first four, this would be it. Hopefully it's not. But, yeah, it's going to be a game, and it's going to really be a test to where the division is going to go, especially after week one. If we lose to the Bears, it's a must win. If we beat the Bears, yeah, it's not a must win, but I want to be competitive.
Definitely. And I guess we could move on to week five. I don't know if to take, like, because I think there's positive aspects to this and there's negative aspects to the way this one's scheduled. So on the road, they travel to Las Vegas to play the Raiders for a Monday night game. So, which in a sense, you get almost like a week and a half bye between the Thursday night game on September 28th and then October 9th. So that's a nice bit of a bye week, which is great there to then just have a bye week right after. Like I think the one thing that's not good about the schedule is the placement of the bye week, because this now, I guess the one aspect of having a bye week after a Monday night game is it prevents that shorter week, like going from a Monday night game to playing on a Sunday afternoon 6 days later. You don't have that. Well, this early, they unfortunately have to do that later in the season. Yeah, I would have preferred a later bye week than week six.
Yeah, especially like you said, you know, you come off a Thursday game, then you go to a Monday night game. So there's a mini bye there. Take advantage of it a little bit, you know, whatever. But now it's you have a bye the next week. So is that almost too much time off to get back to work? I don't know. I don't like that. You know, 3 weeks from now would have been nice. But hey, it's how it lies. You got to play it how they give it to you. Raiders. Another team I think that's in limbo, not very good team with a few good players on it. That defense is trash, and you have a few nice guys on offense. Hopefully go out there, get a win, let everybody heal up. Hopefully nobody's hurt really bad, but, you know, heal up a little bit early, take your bye, and go back on the road to Denver.
I'm seeing like an ideal bye week probably would have been week eight or week nine. And preferably after the Vikings game, you get all three division opponents out of the way. Then you have the bye week. Then you can kind of you'll be focused on those division opponents a second time later, but to have the bye and then have to play the Vikings twice after the bye, I don't love that. So yeah, there's a few, really that's that to me, that's the worst part of the schedule is just how early the bye is and how they kind of, again, in a sense, there's a bit of luck where it's right after a Monday night game, which I would prefer. If you're going to have a bye week ever, maybe right after the Monday night would in theory be better. So could they not have had it after week, I guess 14 is pretty tough. If the second Monday night game was earlier than week 14, if you could have had it after that, that would have been ideal. But ultimately, I mean, the big story to me in this Raiders game is Davante Adams versus the Packers for the first time in his career and what that's going to look like. Who's going to be the Raiders quarterback? Will it be Garoppolo? If not, Jordan Love might be the better quarterback of the game. So that might be good news there.
Well, Garoppolo, if he makes it to that week, and honestly, I think Jordan Love would be the better quarterback if he plays too. When was the last time Garoppolo actually played like a month straight, like 9 years ago?
Unfortunately, we don't want to dwell too much on 2019. But,
well, he didn't throw the ball that game either. I could have played quarterback. So,
but I think that year, like they went to the Super Bowl, he played all 17 games. So that like that was he kind of proved the doubters wrong about the injuries to a certain extent. Now really hasn't done it any other season, but he's at least done it once, which to be fair, at this point is more than Jordan Love has. So
yes. Yeah. Not just ripping on the guy. Whatever. I get it. He's a winner when he plays.
I'll say this. I don't think he's a downgrade off Derek Carr. So no, like Adams was producing great with Derek Carr. So he should in theory just produce just as well with Garoppolo.
Adams is producing with who replaced Carr when they got rid of him. And Adams is still putting up numbers.
Jared Stidham. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So Adams just gets it done.
Jesse, unfortunately, we don't want to dwell on this, but we've seen Davante Adams tear it up with Brett Huntley. So,
yeah, exactly. So just throw it up. He'll make a play.
If Aiden O'Connell or Brian Hoyer is starting for the Raiders, Adams will be fine. So, which means Adams versus Jair. That's good. Like we've seen that in practice. We've never seen that in a game. That'll be fun from a football matchup standpoint. It's Adams, that might not be so fun for Packers fans.
And you know what? I could see it going, you know, Adams gets like 135 yards and maybe a touch. And I could see Jair having two picks on that too. So wouldn't that be such a battle? You know, Green Bay wins by 14. Adams has a huge game. Jair has two picks. I could just see something weird like that. Just feed Adams all day. Have it be a battle. Have it go back and forth.
Adams sneaks on the plane back to Green Bay. Can I join you guys again?
Right. Hey, I'm back in, guys. Just kidding.
So I'd imagine... I mean, honestly, the way the Packers play in the West, I would say, okay, you're in Vegas, maybe not stay a week in Vegas, go right from Vegas to Denver and stay a full week in Denver, and you're there for the week 6 bye, and then you play the Broncos in week 7, you're acclimated to the altitude. I think that's what the Packers need to do. Now, do these grown men want to spend a whole week away from their families? Probably not. So that's tough to convince. But to me, I always say travel early, and the Packers never do. So of course we know that they'll play Monday night. They'll probably travel back Monday night or early Tuesday morning. They'll be in Green Bay and they'll travel to Denver Friday night.
That's an interesting concept because just thinking about that with you, I'm thinking, you know, usually the bye week, they give them the week off. I'd say disperse from Vegas, go wherever the heck you guys are going.
Yeah, don't do it in Vegas. That's probably not the smart decision.
Right. And then, you know, say, hey, next Monday, meeting in Denver, because to your point, it all depends on the record too. You know, if we're, but yeah, I'd be with you. Hey, meet back in next week in Denver for that Monday. So we're here all week.
You know what? Is the compromise, okay, let's stay in Vegas like until the Friday. Let's find room on the field if we need to meet, like if we can find a practice field or something to meet during the week, but we'll mostly give you like a vacation week in Vegas. And then, but then like you leave the Saturday to go straight to Denver. Like maybe the players bring their families. It's a little family vacation. And that's how you convince them to not have to go back to Green Bay. Cause I'm sure most of them want to see their families. That would be the big reason why you wouldn't just go right from Vegas, go to Denver on a Tuesday, spend a full week there to play a Sunday game 2 weeks later. Like that's a tough sell for players, I think. But if you could have a family vacation in Vegas, do you just stay in that mountain time zone for that full 2 weeks? And that's how you're able to do it. And that have the whole team kind of vacation in Vegas. You wouldn't want to spend two full weeks in Vegas, but maybe you spend that until that Friday after the game. And then you go to Denver, then you have a full like 10 days in Denver. That's how I would do it. again, I don't think the players would want that. As much as it we think it's strategic to just get acclimated to the altitude as quickly as possible, it's probably not what the players want. So, of course, we know that the Packers will cave, and they'll travel late Friday night to basically you're playing 36 hours from now once you land against the Broncos, two time zones away. I guess one time zone away. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I guess the only concern I have with those two games, Raiders and Broncos, quarterbacks in theory have talent, but Russell Wilson was awful last year. So does he regain something with a good coach in Sean Payton? Maybe. And maybe that's a bit of a threat. Maybe at this point, Jordan Love's the better quarterback too. But to me, the biggest concern is just playing on the West, because we know the Packers, it's not West Coast, but it's, I guess these are the two games the furthest West they'll be. So I can't tell if it's an advantage to have the bye week right before the Denver game. I guess in theory it would be, but only if you're traveling to Denver early to take advantage.
Yeah, and with this too, I'm in the boat. You have to at least win one of these games. You cannot lose both these games. That would be absolute disaster. I expect Russell Wilson to be better this year, and that's not saying much, right? Because how bad he was, better is not saying much. But you have to win one of these games against lower tier opponents if you're expecting to do anything. You got, I get it. It's on the road. It's, you know, win your home games, try to win some road games and you're fine. You have to win one of these. So get that first one or get them both. Right. But yeah, that's where it's tricky. You have that bye in between. If you struggle with the Raiders, you have to find a way to win this one. And like you said, going West Coast has not been good. And really LaFleur coming out of bye, this has not been very impressive the last 2 years either, I don't think. Granted, yeah, that last year's was kind of weird, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and it's funny. And this Denver game is the last time the Packers will play at 4:25 Eastern on Sunday, all season. So, like, these 4 o'clock slots, they're done by week 7. Because then, right away, the next 4 games in a row, the Packers are playing Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern. It starts week 8 in Green Bay against the Vikings. So, for the home game of that division rivalry. And I mean, looking at the schedule, the Jefferson Cousins connection, I know Jair shut it down last year when they needed to in week 17, but to me, this is still probably the second or third toughest game on the schedule. Maybe because the secret is, like, you're asking me right now who I think will win the division this year. I think it's the Vikings. I think they're the best team in the NFC North. But with the context of the first primetime game, that Thursday night, the short week against the Lions, that might actually be a tougher game than this Vikings game. So who knows, but if I were to pick out like 3 immediate losses on the schedule, I'd probably say at least one of the Vikings games, the Lions game in week 4, and then when they play the best team in the NFL later on. We'll get to that later though.
Yeah. So I'm totally opposite with you on the Vikings. I thought they were pretenders last year. I didn't think they were good. Yeah, you win. You win 13 games. Yeah, you're good. They could
to be fair, I don't think anyone in the NFC North is good. And that's why I think they'll win the division. Oh, I don't think they're that great either.
And I'm not going to say, wow, Green Bay is a good team. I'm with you. I think they have potential. But yeah. But that Viking team, I think they're a dumpster fire. They're unloading. They just cut Cook. I mean, this team is, you talk about Packers being cap hell. I think we weaseled out of it pretty damn good with what we had with Rodgers. Again, another subject. But, you know, Cousin puts up numbers during the regular season. I don't know. Jefferson's, I think, the best receiver in the league. That's my number one. But then what do you have outside of that? A getting better O-line and an absolute dumpster fire on defense right now. So they don't scare me. I think Green Bay kicks their teeth in. I think it's a 4-win team. I do. I really do.
We finally are going to give some credit to the Joe Barry defense. They have shut down tight ends really well. That's the one area where they've been able to just, tight ends are not having great games against them. And right now it looks like the Vikings' second best receiver is TJ Hockenson at tight end. So if you can shut him down and funnel everything to like a funnel defense through Jefferson, and like the Vikings are suddenly relying on Jefferson in triple coverage or the rookie Jordan Addison. And Jordan Addison might end up being amazing, and that could end up being a problem. But and I think at this point, Addison will have played 6 or 7 games, you know, assuming he's healthy all the way through. So he'll be starting to kind of work his way into the NFL rhythm. And he might, you know, I'd rather them maybe go against the Vikings earlier so that Addison, Could this have been the week four game instead? And then have the Lions later. That might be more of an advantage for the Packers to get the Vikings as early as possible. That being said, the Vikings kind of kicked the Packers' teeth in week one, and the Packers got the best of them late in the season. So maybe I don't know anything.
And anything can happen, right? And that's, again, this is a rebuilding division.
All right, so the week nine game against the Rams. So that's up next, and let's just call it. Like, the Packers, even when the Rams have been great, they've somehow got their number. So maybe up to this point, this might be my most confident win, because this Rams team, I mean, they were awful last year, but they were especially awful once Cooper Kupp got hurt. But even when Cooper Kupp's done well, it's the same thing as Jefferson. Like, are they relying on Van Jefferson? Like, this is even worse than, say, the Vikings. Like, who's the wide receiver two on the Rams? Is it Tutu Atwell? Is it maybe it's Higbee. Tight end Tyler Higbee? And I think TJ Hawkinson's a much better tight end than Higbee. Not to say Higbee's not good, but I think I would say that maybe the easiest win up to this point on the schedule.
Yeah,
I agree. If the run defense is good, you could maybe argue it's the Falcons. But see, Joe Barry run defenses, unlike how they do against tight ends, have not necessarily been that good.
I can't name another guy on that defense outside of Aaron Donald right now. I mean, I'm sure I could have thought about it, but I don't want to waste my time.
True, they've gotten rid of Jalen Ramsey, traded him away.
Right. I mean, that team.
Do they still have Leonard Floyd?
No, he's gone now too. So
okay, there you go. I can't either.
I think Leonard Floyd's with the Atlanta Falcons, actually. But yeah, you know, that team, they went all in. They got their Super Bowl, and this is – I get it. You know, I trade for a Super Bowl, but yeah, this team is a shell of itself. It's a win. If you don't win this one, you might as well hang it up. But yeah, this is a win right here.
Continuing on week 10, the Packers take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And honestly, Jesse, I think Kenny Pickett might be the closest comparison right now to Jordan Love. They're young quarterbacks. I mean, Pickett has more starts under his belt. Jordan Love has one start. Pickett, I think, has 12 starts, but they've played in less than 15 NFL games, both of them. I think Jordan Love's played in, I think he's got stats from 9 different games. So he's come in 9 different times, and some of those are just like one or two throws, but some of them are, you know, week 17 against the Lions in 2011, where he threw like, I think, 17 or 18 passes. So he was in there for quite enough of it. But like, they both have such a limited scope of playing time that, like, two young quarterbacks trying to develop these, you know, I guess you can still call the Steelers receiving room great, but you know, they're young receivers. These teams have had tradition of having great receiver cores, and now they're kind of having to build through some young guys. I would argue right now, if you look at the Steelers and Packers receiving core, Deontay Johnson is the best pass catcher, and it's probably not that close, because I'm also really high on Deontay, like almost elite level. But then after that, it's all a bunch of young guys throughout both teams. So, young quarterbacks, young receivers, it's in Pittsburgh. So, this ends the streak of back-to-back games, because they had the back-to-back games against the Vikings and Rams at home. So now we go into the period of the schedule where it's going to alternate. So they're on the road against the Steelers before coming back home in week 11.
Hey, that receiving core ain't that young. Allen Robinson's there now too.
He's older. I almost forgot about him. I was thinking more like Pickens and Freiermuth and the Darnell Washington they just drafted this year. I know we were both really high on him before the draft. Rookie tight ends on both teams. But yeah, you're right. Allen Robinson. I don't know how much he's actually going to contribute, though. So I don't know if he really counts.
No, I mean, there's a reason why Coach Tomlin's never been under 500 in his career, right? Like, they play good, disciplined football. I like what they're doing on offense. O-line is still something up in the air that, you know, they got to kind of figure out. Harris, I think, to me, was kind of a bust. But Kenny Pickett, I think, is going to be solid. They got a good receiving core. They got a tight end that Pittsburgh always knows how to use their tight ends. And they play defense, right? So this is going to be a tough game in Pittsburgh. I don't like this game, to be honest. I mean, it's kind of the turning point in the season. Where are we getting? We're getting close to – we're in November now, right?
November 12th.
Right. So second half of the season, this is a tough game. If I had to say, you know, I've always say, you know, Packers for a win, but this is one, if they lose, I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, I could see it going both ways. Again, it's which of these young quarterbacks can take the step. Maybe they both do, and it ends up being a great game, but it's whoever can by this point get it quicker. It probably does come down to the quarterback as much as, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons why we're not so confident in the Packers at this point. Oh, there's, you know, what's this week 11? So yeah, they're 6-4, they're 7-3. Like, you know, with Rodgers, we could maybe have that conviction to say that and really believe it. But with Jordan Love, we really just don't know. I guess the good news here is we really just don't know with Kenny Pickett either.
Right.
Moving on to week 11. The Packers luckily don't have to travel all the way to the West Coast for this one, but they do take on the Los Angeles Chargers in Green Bay. Frankly, like, I think up to this point, everything, I'll talk defensively first. Everything the Packers have done defensively up to this point is almost preparing them for this. Because to me, Cousins, I mean, unless Russell Wilson recaptures his former self, Cousins will be the only quarterback that's probably close to in quality of what you're getting with Justin Herbert. So that will be a test for the defense. Because they haven't played Justin Herbert yet, I don't think.
They have not. Nope, they have not.
I know we've seen the defense kind of handle Patrick Mahomes better than expected, but I mean, will they against Herbert? I don't know. Again, back to what I was saying earlier, like I'm really like looking at this, picking out maybe four losses, and this is one of them, like four almost for sure losses. Like, I think this will be really tough from a defensive standpoint. And then can Jordan Love lead the Packers offense enough to keep up with Herbert? And that's where Love really hasn't proved it, but he'll also, like, by this point in the season, he'll have played 9 games, which will, you know, That'll be 90% of his starts in his career will be in the 9 games before this. So he'll also grow, and we'll start, I think by this point, we'll start to find out who the real Jordan Love is. Not necessarily see his ceiling, but we'll also, I guess, get his floor. I think his floor is he can operate it. Like, he's not going to be useless out there. He's not going to be completely lost, like we've seen maybe with Zach Wilson or even Sam Darnold to a certain extent. I don't think that's his floor, because every time he's gone out there so far, he's operated the offense well. But it's, can you get this team to the playoffs? Can you win a Super Bowl? That's ultimate ceiling, which we're not going to know by week 11 if that's the case. But we'll start to have a good idea. And Love to Herbert, like Love to Pickett will be a really good comparison, because I kind of view them both as quarterbacks that need to take the step up. But Love to Herbert will also show how much of a step that needs to be. That'll be a good measuring stick, I think.
Yeah, so I get it. Everybody loves Herbert. He's got all the talent in the world. Like I've always said about the Cardinals the last couple of years, on paper, this team's good. This team to me is soft, and it just is. You look at the now. Granted, there was a lot of injuries last year, so don't get me wrong. They didn't have their preferred guys in there, but when it matters, this team finds ways to lose. Kind of like the Cardinals, you know, they always look good. Then by week 7, that team just is soft. And until the Chargers do something different, they're coming to Green Bay in November. They're a soft team. I think Green Bay beats them. I do.
The one thing I'll say is you mentioned that they love to blow leads. So as like there'll be no point in this game where it feels like, oh, the Chargers can't blow this, right? Like there's always hope for the Packers to come back.
It's crazy.
I would say the soft part doesn't translate to Herbert himself, because he played through those rib injuries. But in the trenches, they've been a really awful run defense. I think
not a knock on the quarterback play at all. Trust me. I think Herbert's tough as nails. You know, I liked his attitude coming in where, you know, they questioned him, and he's a player, but this team overall, it just, like you said, when they're up, they can't finish. You know, I think they get lazy. There's a lot of, wow, you look at, they should be competing for a Super Bowl, and they should. You look at this roster, and somehow, some way, it's like, they just don't get it done. People said that about Green Bay for a long time. Hard to argue against it at times, but yeah, that's until they prove me different. I'm going to say, you know, they're just a kind of a West Coast team that's flashy, but when it comes down to it in the trenches, they don't get it done. Plus the new defense, they're going to be running a 3-4 this year.
November 19th. But yeah, talk about the new defense. How does that new defense hold up against the run? Is this a battering ram AJ Dillon game where, AJ Dillon, this is the game we're giving you 20 carries and just pound your way through this defense. Be the best strategy. Like, if there's any game through the schedule where you feel like the Packers will have to rely on the run game, it's this one, because you're taking, you know, more time of possession. Herbert from maximizing his time on the field. So I think if there's any game where AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones need to dominate, because as you've mentioned, the soft defense, this seems like it's the defense, regardless if they're changing to 3-4-4-3, that's still their weakness. They've got good pass rushers. They've got a good secondary. can you just beat this team on the ground? That would be probably the pack. Like, this is the, I'm never usually the, you know, establish the run and you got to just run it down their throats every time. But to me, this would be the game. If you're ever going to do that this season, this is probably the game to do it in.
Yes, sir.
And then I guess we get to another Thursday game. So two Thursday games here. This is, we're getting to Thanksgiving Thursday, which will be November 23rd. And the Packers play the Lions, and the Lions always have that 12:30 kickoff in Detroit. That's always their time slot. The Dallas Cowboys always host the middle slot, and then the primetime game will be whatever. They'll decide different teams. But yeah, we've seen a lot of Bears Lions. I don't remember the last time the Packers played on Thanksgiving. So a short week, and this is where the short week. Okay, so like I talked about earlier, going from hosting the Saints to hosting the Lions on a Sunday to Thursday. This will be Sunday to Thursday, but hosting the Chargers and then traveling to Detroit. So at least it's not cross country travel. I think you're still technically crossing a time zone though. So that's the maybe the concern. But we've also seen the Lions just, is there so much pressure on this game every year? Because it seems like they never do well on the Thursday game. I think if the Packers are going to beat the Lions this year, it's probably going to happen here in week 12.
We got to split, right? If we lose that first one, we got to get this one, right? So take advantage of that Turkey Day on the Lions. Or to your point, like, they let them play it every Thanksgiving, and for some reason, they don't show up. So hopefully they don't show up this year. Green Bay gets that early win. Everybody gets to enjoy dinner. Happy Thanksgiving.
Now, this does end up being a really tough stretch for the Packers. They play, I guess they play against five teams in a row that either had a winning record or made the playoffs last year. Most of them are both, but, you know, the Buccaneers did sneak in with a losing record to the playoffs. But yeah, going from the Chargers to the Lions and then to the Chiefs, week 13. I mean, I mentioned earlier, the best team in the NFL, they're defending champs. Sunday night football. This is the only Sunday night football. Like, last year, it was almost every primetime game was a Sunday night. They had one Monday nighter, one Thursday, and they had like four Sunday night football games last year. This is only one, and it happens to be against the Chiefs. Jordan Love's only start has come against the Chiefs, and they lost by four. So the defense really stepped up in that game more than anything. You help Patrick Mahomes led offense to under 20 points. Like, that's incredibly impressive. They'll need that type of effort, or this is a loss. This, like, to me, this is the hardest game on the schedule. This is, again, you're measuring yourself against the defending champs. And I don't know what the betting favorites are right now, but I wouldn't be shocked if they finally break this lack of repeat that we haven't seen since 2003, 2004, and the Chiefs actually do get the repeat, which has been rare in the NFL for over a decade now. But yeah, I think the toughest test they'll see all season.
Oh yeah, no question. Best team in the league. Yeah, you know, repeat's tough to do, you know, but yeah, if there's a team that can do it, it's them. Yeah, best team in the league. Seems like Green Bay gets up when they play the Chiefs. Last few times we played them, should have been blowouts. We beat them, what, 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
I can't remember. The Jamal Williams catch in the end zone there, yeah, with Rodgers. Yeah.
Right, so, I mean,
when Mahomes team. Didn't play that game, right? That was...
Right, he did not. So yeah. We'll take it either way. But yeah, yeah, don't be surprised that we lose this game. But again, if you're competitive in it, you know, in front of the lights, you can win there too. So keep it competitive, be around in the end, and you never know, anything can happen. But yeah, if there's a loss on the schedule, it's probably this week, no doubt.
So I'm very big on, I've heard enough coaches talk about this. So this is, I've heard this a lot from a hockey perspective, but I don't believe momentum exists between games. And the way that, like, I've heard coaches explain it, you're talking about a 3-hour game where you've got breaks between each quarter, but you're so, like, the momentum swings inside a game are real. But then you go, I mean, sometimes 7 days between games. Like, to me, that momentum is lost in those seven games where you're playing off, and then you have to capture that momentum. But I think the Packers, even if they lose this game, as long as they can keep it close, will gain confidence from this, that they could maybe transition that into momentum for the end of the season schedule. But yeah, I think if we're picking one loss on the schedule, it's probably this one, right?
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, you know, it's not necessarily momentum. It's confidence and belief. You know, you'll get swings in every game. Guys make plays. That's what changes momentum. But yeah, you start believing in what you're doing, that goes a long way. So well said.
It's funny how the schedule has like back-to-back primetime games. Week four, Thursday night against the Lions, and then week five, Monday night against the Raiders. Kind of a similar thing. I guess it's three. I guess national audiences. They get the Thursday Thanksgiving game against the Lions. They get a Sunday night football game against the Chiefs, and then coming back week 14 with a Monday night football game against the Giants. In New York. So 2 years in a row, they've had to play the Giants, not in Green Bay, even though they did technically play Green Bay. They did technically play the Giants at home, quote unquote, in a different country.
And this is the exact opposite of what I think about the Chargers. Is this Giants team absolutely loaded? No, I think they got good players. I think they got, you know, elite players and elite, and, you know, in key spots on the D line, some guys on the O line, but they're tough. This is a team that is tough. You let them hang around, they start believing what they're doing, they're going to scrap, they're going to fight, and they're going to be around at the end. So this is a tough game on the road. Got to find a way, right? You got to match their toughness. You got to take advantage of mistakes and somehow get that win. It's late in the year, but Giants, are they a good team? No. Are they a tough team? Hell yeah.
They're also a very well-coached team, which maybe – like, you might have concerns about Staley with the Chargers and that coaching. So, I mean, they beat the Packers last year with Aaron Rodgers, and you can't really use the thumb injury as a mistake because that's the game it happened in. So, and that was a game the Packers were leading. Like, they should not have lost that game. Like, it's maddening that they actually ended up losing.
That was a meltdown.
Without Rodgers, I would imagine a meltdown is more likely to happen because of the lack of confidence, even if you're coming off the Chiefs game. I don't know. Another one, if I had to guess right now, I'd probably say it's a loss.
Yeah, and this is going to come down to coaching, too. You know, this is a year we haven't said it yet. This is a year where we're going to see what Matt LaFleur really is made of, but I also think he's going to be able to run his system. You know, not a knock on Aaron Rodgers, but you got a player like Aaron Rodgers, you kind of feed into what he wants to do. Well, now you got a young quarterback. You want him to play within your system and play within, you know, himself. So these are those battle games that I think you're going to – see the coaching, who's the better coach now, who schemed it better, and there's two damn good coaches in this game. So this will be a fun one.
It's funny how, Jesse, in the first four games of the season, you've got two division opponents and then two teams from the NFC South. To end the season with the last four games, you have two teams from the NFC South and then two divisional opponents. Back-to-back games against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers. Two games right now scheduled for 1 o'clock Eastern. Now, at this point of the year, stuff can get flexed out pretty easily. They play the Bucs in Green Bay, and then they travel to Carolina to take on the Panthers. So, new-look quarterbacks for both teams. So I kind of tied them together. Baker Mayfield, probably, for the Buccaneers, unless they're going with Kyle Trask. Then, in which case, I think it's definitely a win. I don't know. This Bucs team is almost like the Rams, where they won a couple years ago, but it's kind of deteriorated. You've got talented receiving. Well, in this case, two talented receivers, unlike the Rams. But I still feel pretty confident the Packers winning this one and then going against the first overall pick, Bryce Young, the rookie quarterback, who I guess at this point will have, maybe you're not calling him a rookie anymore in week 16. But I'd imagine both teams are fighting for the division because it's the NFC South, and maybe the South and North will both in the NFC will come down to the last weeks of the season. I think at this point, though, if the Packers really want to make the playoffs, they probably have to win both these games, regardless of what their records are going into this. Because you finish the year with two division games, and I think you need every win possible to make the playoffs. So at this point, there's probably no excuse to not lose to these teams, unless or not an excuse. The Packers just really aren't a playoff team. But if they want to prove they're a playoff team, I think they have to win both these games.
Two wins, move on. I'm with you 100%. You know, Carolina's trying to rebuild. Bucks are reeling from, you know, what they had. No excuse, two W's, move on to the end of the season.
If you can count on an early matchup against the Bears, week one or week two, you can basically count on a late season game against the Vikings on primetime. Sunday night football on New Year's Eve, too. So I don't know if that means more eyeballs will be on the game or less than a traditional Sunday night football game. But yeah, they travel to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. It's the only time except weeks one and two where the Packers play on the road 2 weeks in a row. They've got, again, the back-to-back road games week five and seven, but there's a bye week in between. But yeah, go from Carolina to Minnesota a week later.
Oh, to that stupid horn in Minnesota. I thought we were going to get out of that this year. Well, let's not give them a reason to play that damn thing.
Yeah, again, unfortunately, there's like you can't get out of it. Like, with it's so cold that the horn breaks, like it was a couple years ago. Now that they're indoors,
right? Yeah, but again, yeah, it's going to be a tough game, division game. Throw out the records, you know, whether one team wants to play spoiler or, you know, one team's going to be in the run for the division. Hopefully, it's us. I think it's going to be us. But again, they're not going to lay down either. I mean, they'd give up the first pick to beat us and knock us out of the playoffs, and I would too. So, going to be a tough game.
I'll be honest, like, I don't see any way the Vikings aren't competing for the playoffs, even if they don't win the division. Like, since Kirk Cousins is there, I think the least amount of wins they've had in the season is 8. So to me, there's no way the Vikings are eliminated from the playoffs at this point. They're either the team at the top, or they're just as motivated as the Packers to win because they're chasing the Lions, or potentially the Packers are actually amazing and they're the ones winning, and the Vikings are chasing this exact team. This game might, how often have we seen that? A Vikings Packers late season game, the division comes down to this game. We've seen that enough. And if Jordan Love can take the step up, it might be the case here.
Right. And another thing you got to throw in here, it's the end of the season. Both teams are going to be beat up. Who's out? Who's got the deeper roster too? I know we disagree. I think the Vikings are not good this year. But it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter what we think. It's going to be a fight. And to your point, the whole NFC North could all be right around 500 and everybody's playing for a playoff spot. So yeah, it'll be fun football.
DJ Moore going there might unlock Justin Fields to the point where they're winning the division at this point. I will say I agree with you. I don't think the Vikings roster is very good. I think, though, right now, with what we know, I think they have the best quarterback in the division. They've got the best receiver, and I think that will be enough to carry them to win the division. Can they win playoff games with that? They haven't proven them. I mean, Kirk Cousins does have one playoff win under his belt, but that didn't happen with Jefferson. That was an Adam Thielen dig still, but I remember Adam Thielen in that playoff game against the Saints was just, he reached a whole new level of what Thielen could do. So that's more my reasoning is, I'm usually just sticking to who's got the best quarterback. That's probably the team that wins the division. So that's why I think the Vikings will win it. But who knows? Maybe Fields is the best quarterback in the division. Like, really, all four quarterbacks maybe have a case to claim they're the best quarterback in the division if they take the step up, which includes Jordan Love. But talking of Justin Fields, it's funny how you start and you end it. It's a nice arch to the schedule, playing Chicago in week one and then finishing in Green Bay week 18 against the Bears.
And this is what it's about, right? Listen, the last 10 years, as much as it's good to see the Bears not do good, man, I want a competition. I don't want it to be a cakewalk end of the year.
This might be for the division.
This could be for the division. Bring it back to 2010, you know, Green Bay getting in the playoffs. The Bears are good. Go to the Super, you know, I'm not saying both teams are going for the Super Bowl NFC Championship, but make this game matter again. And
2013, where they were playing for the division at the last game. Yeah, and Randall Cobb came in off injury and
there you go. Yeah, touchdown. You know,
we can't rely on Randall Cobb this year, unfortunately. Maybe the Jets can. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, make them game matter, and I think there's going to be this game's going to matter, right? You know, I don't think anybody's going to be resting people. We're not going to be that good. They're not going to be that good. Everybody's going to have something to play for. So this is going to be a fun game.
If both teams are eliminated from the playoffs, which unfortunately that might be a reality, they'll probably still play most of the starters anyway too. So,
and unfortunately with our division, I just don't see anybody running away with it. You know what I mean?
All four teams might be alive for this final game. So that's exciting. There's excitement about the season. Thanks for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. You can also follow Jesse at @Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. Thank you to PA the Second for the song Bad Boy Outside, which we use as our intro and outro. So Jesse, any final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, 17-0, right? No, just kidding. Let's have a good offseason here. Everybody stay healthy, and until next time, go Pack, go.
Absolutely. We'll see you next time. Full press Packers podcast.